All right, y'all, let's do this. Hour number three of Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along. Sean, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with our traffic report. And you on the text line, phone line, 343-0106. 343-0106. Also on Tuesday, we check in with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, author of the Mad Jones Heretic Trilogy. Also read his work in the Washington Examiner and, of course, at QuinnHillier.com. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, y'all.
A couple things, we'll get into news of the day, but beforehand, you have a headline here, when Coach John Thompson stared down the drug lord. Now, you're talking about like John Thompson, like basketball coach John Thompson?
Yes, big John Thompson, the original John Thompson who coached Georgetown to a national championship in the 80s. This was a great story when it happened, and I recalled it because late last week, prosecutors suddenly recommended parole for the most notorious drug kingpin ever in Washington, D.C., a guy named Raphael Edmonds, who was put in jail back in the early 90s, but apparently has been cooperating with them for 25 years and has been a model prisoner. And so even though he got life without parole, they're now recommending parole. And I said, Raphael Edmonds, you got to be kidding. Raphael Edmonds was. I mean, he led this multi-million-dollar drug empire in the streets of D.C., very violent, and this was at a time when John Thompson was the most important man within the city of D.C. He was absolutely revered because of the basketball team.
Yeah, man, Georgetown was, I mean, what a story back in the 80s. I mean,
yeah,
even back
exactly.
Here at home, we followed Georgetown.
The problem was, right, one of his players, one of his second-tier players, had grown up as a friend of Raphael Edmonds, and Raphael Edmonds was a pretty good basketball player, too. And so his friend, I mean, the player was seen in the company of Edmonds along with his superstar, Alonzo Mourning. Now, there was no indication that Mourning, that the other player, John Turner, much less Mourning, were doing drugs, but apparently Raphael Edmonds, you know, loved basketball, and he really wanted to keep hanging out with his pal and get to know Alonzo and all that. And Thompson said, wait a minute, this can't happen. He literally, he sent word out on the street. He said, I want Raphael Edmonds in my office next week. Now, this is a guy, Raphael Edmonds, who, the drop of a hat, could order people getting murdered all over the city. Raphael Edmonds got word from John Thompson to show up in his office. And Raphael Edmonds didn't say, wait, you want me to come to you? No, you come to me. No. Raphael Edmonds showed up in John Thompson's office. John Thompson yelled at him and said, stay away from my kids. He said, my kids don't do drugs. I don't want anybody near them that does drugs. And you stay away from my kids. And he started cursing them out. And there were people outside the door that heard all this. And basically, Raphael Edmonds said, yes, sir.
Wow.
And he was never seen with Alonzo Mourning again or with any of the other players other than that the kid, John Turner, that he'd grown up with ended up transferring away. So we don't know whether he went back to being with Raphael Edmonds. But he put the law down. John Thompson put the law down, and he had such moral authority that even the biggest drug lord in D.C. said yes, sir, to Big John.
Wow, that's a slice of the past there, a little behind-the-door history. And then you reference Arthur Ashe teaching patriotism to Jimmy Connors. What's that story?
Okay, well, another story looking back in the past because of something current. The Richmond just named a street after their native son, Arthur Ashe, the great black tennis player. The street was named the Boulevard, so now it's just Arthur Ashe Boulevard, so they didn't have to take anybody else's name off of it. And I said, that's a great idea, and Ashe was great. Why did I bring, or what story did I tell that made it great? Is back in the 70s, everybody remembers when he upset Jimmy Connors, when Jimmy Connors was at the top of the tennis world, and Arthur Ashe made mincemeat of him in the Wimbledon final, destroyed him in three straight sets, okay? But that wasn't the only thing. The backstory to that was Arthur Ashe was the Davis Cup captain. That's the international team competition where you play for free to represent your country. And Jimmy Connors refused to play Davis Cup. The word was he was mad that he wasn't going to get paid. He said it didn't fit his schedule. And Arthur Ashe said in public, Jimmy Connors is unpatriotic for not playing Davis Cup. He said this country, now Arthur Ashe had grown up in the segregated South, had been discriminated against growing up, but he loved the country. He was a liberal, but he loved the country. And he said, you get a chance to wear the red, white, and blue, darn it, you go wear the red, white, and blue. And Connors said no. So Ashe went onto the court, kicked his butt, kept criticizing Connors for not playing Davis Cup, and then a couple years later, Connors asked to meet with him for either breakfast or lunch, and said, "Arthur, I was wrong. I'll start playing now."
Cool stories of sports intermingled with the politics of the time. People could catch those stories, of course, by going to quinnhillier.com. I want to get into a couple of the stories you're talking about now that are in today's news cycle, or at least the news cycle over the last couple of weeks. Number one, you said busting anti-Semites on the left and the right, and you start off with Representative Ilhan Omar. Talk about this.
Okay, well, a lot of people saw last week that this new Muslim representative, freshman from, or freshwoman, if you want to say, from Minnesota, was caught saying stuff that was so widely thought to be anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, that even Nancy Pelosi publicly rebuked her very strongly. She didn't rebuke her enough in my boat. She should have taken her off the Foreign Affairs Committee. But anyway, she did. It was clearly anti-Semitic. And I found out that, you know, that even though she had this long history of saying other anti-Semitic stuff, and even though she had been rebuked by Pelosi, she still had not pulled herself off of a speaking engagement later this week, as a matter of fact, for Islamic Relief, which is a group that several foreign governments, numerous banks, and other foreign entities have all declared is a supporter, a material supporter of Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood and other terror-supporting organizations. Well, not only was she speaking for an Islamic Relief event, but she was speaking, sharing the podium with a guy who had recently been found to be on social media saying stuff like, let's celebrate this martyr who killed 20 Jews, and all sorts of very violent anti-Jewish material. And she was sharing the podium with him. So I busted her. And within an hour after my story came out, they suddenly removed that other guy from the speaker's list and tried to claim that he had never been on the speaker's list. To which I said, excuse me, but we have both the flyers and the online advertisements that go back at least 3 weeks. We later found out they went back at least four and a half weeks that showed that he was on this speaker's list right next to your congressman for 4.5 weeks. And you're claiming he was never invited at all? Oh, that was a clerical error. Yeah, right. She was knowingly speaking to and with anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish organizations and people. And as far as I know, she's still going to make the speech, but just claiming, oh, but at least it's not alongside this guy who said death to 20 Jews and let's celebrate the bombs going into Tel Aviv and all this stuff.
Now, she elected out of Minnesota, right? In Minnesota, and she was born in Somalia, born, I think, in Mogadishu, emigrated, and there's a very big Somali community, right, that lives in that area. But
yeah,
it seems like there, that I don't know what that district, how it's drawn or whatever, but it can't be just entirely Somali immigrants that vote in that district. I mean, she was getting support from other people out there, I guess, to get elected. I mean, is this representative of Minnesota? I mean, seems strange to me.
Well, it's strange. Well, there are a lot of Somalis, and then you got to remember that there's a big swath of Minnesota that has a long progressive history going back to Hubert Humphrey, although mm-hmm. he ended up being sort of a mainstream Democrat, not what we would call today progressive, but still he was progressive for a time. Hubert Humphrey, Walter Mondale, they ended up sending Al Franken to the Senate.
Sure.
And so you combine the Somali votes and the Muslim votes with the progressives, and it was enough for her to squeak into victory.
Well, it leads me to my question, though, that if you have somebody who is not just Muslim by faith, but pro what is at least to an American, seems to me a radical Islamic agenda. How does that line up with progressive? I mean, you want to talk about something that, if you're looking for equality, no matter what how you identify as a gender or who you choose to sleep with or all these different things that seem to be tenets of progressives, the abortion issues and all that, that seems to me it would hit, head to head like a pair of bighorn sheep rams with progressivism.
None of that matters to the progressives when it comes to them thinking that the Palestinians are abused. And so, there is a horrible strain of anti-Semitism, not just anti-Zionism, but anti-Semitism and anti-Jewishness in general among progressives that stems from Israel's supposed mistreatment of the Palestinians. And so Alexandria AOC Cortez.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
She's not Muslim, but she is radically pro-Palestinian, radically anti-Israel. She's a progressive, and she's just one example. This is a growing problem on the left.
You know, last week when, speaking of Ilhan Omar, there was a House Foreign Affairs Committee hearing where there have been memes of this online, but she was just absolutely tearing up the people that she was questioning and being pretty vicious up there and, taking it to the extreme, a lot like we've seen Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And you've got these new women and men in Congress that are, and specifically Omar and Cortez, that are just, they seem to be taking it so far. What do you think the liberals that have been in this game for a long time that feel like they have a real opportunity to pounce on Trump in 2020, do you think this is hurting their cause and that they'll have to do something to kind of bring some of the Democrats back towards the center and get more of, Americans on their side?
Well, I it's definitely hurting their cause, and even somebody as liberal as Nancy Pelosi realizes that Nancy Pelosi is beside herself with frustration with Alexandria Ortiz.
Ocasio-Cortez.
I can't say the name. Anyway, she's rebuked her. She's trying to get her to heal, basically. Heal, like H-E-E-L, and trying to tell her to behave, because she knows exactly what you just said, Dalton, that for most of the country, this sort of crazy left radicalism is a total turnoff, and if it starts to define the Democratic Party, then they are going to lose again to Trump, and Pelosi knows it.
Just to play, and not that I even disagree with y'all on this, but I can't stand it, so I'll play devil's advocate here. Could you argue that maybe this is a centrist Democrat is not their path to victory? A centrist Democrat is what they were, at least portraying, now we may disagree, but portraying Hillary Clinton to be. Maybe that they feel like, hey, the way to win in 2020 is to go left, is to leave Nancy Pelosi and any kind of centrism behind and go hard left to be able to win against President Trump. To split it, be a very different choice.
Some of them might think that, but they're dead wrong. And look, there's all sorts of evidence that the battleground for the elections these days, the battleground is suburbia. That is, if blue collar workers. If white working class stay with Trump, then the battleground is suburbia, especially professional suburban women, et cetera, et cetera. They're the ones that are going to swing back and forth.
Well, the Philly suburbs and the I-4 corridor and the soccer moms have been in play. I've been told they've been in play for the last 10 cycles.
Exactly, and what happened last time was that enough of them decided in the right places, decided to stay home rather than vote for either party. If they had come out and voted for the Democrats, they would have won because Trump actually didn't get any more votes than Mitt Romney did. It's just that Hillary Clinton got that many less votes. The Democrats, to win, need to get those suburban women to not only not vote Republican, but to vote Democrat. They're never going to do that if they have these radical left-wingers. And so, you know, Trump is saying, please bring it on. Bring on AOC. Bring on, bring on somebody radical left. Bring on Elizabeth Warren. He thinks he'll beat them like a drum, and he might be right.
All right, just a minute or two left here. Your take on the deal signed here for the spending bill, the budget. I have a hard time calling it a budget, but spending deal and the wall, and then the immediate declaration of the emergency action. What's your take on this? How does this play out?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's a terrible bill. It spends too much money for everything else. It doesn't spend enough for the wall. Trump got less after all of that than he was offered before the shutdown began. I mean, that's just a fact. He ended up getting less money for the wall than the Democrats were willing to offer in early December and all through the fall. So he lost big time on the bill itself. So then he goes to try to declare an emergency. I think, unfortunately for his sake, I think the courts are going to block him. I did a piece last night. I went back to Alexander Hamilton and the Federalist Papers, Federalist 26, that shows the clear intent of the founders would preclude such a shifting around of military money that was not appropriated for that purpose. That has nothing to do with whether I support a wall. I do. I'm just saying I think Trump is going to lose in the courts. I think he's going to lose big. We'll see if I'm right.
All right. Quinn, remind folks, too, if they've yet to pick up the trilogy, how do they do that?
Yeah, and it's Amazon.com, and all the books are named Mad Jones. Mad Jones Heretic, Mad Jones Hero, Mad Jones Agonistes. So just Google my name or go to Amazon and type in Mad Jones or Quinn Hillier. These are not political books. I mean, they've got a little political satire in it, but they're not political books. They're fun reads. They're novels, and they poke fun at a lot of things that are going on in society today in a way I think you'll find really enjoying.
All right, and remind folks, too, if they want to read what your takes, your multiple takes on the stories of the day, where do they go?
Please go to QuinnHillier.com and subscribe, and you'll get a newsletter every week for free, absolutely free, or just type in Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner and Google that, and you'll get all my Washington Examiner stories.
Good stuff, Quinn. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Coming right back, we'll grab some calls and lots to talk about this hour as we get into it here on Mobile Mornings. You forget the phone number? I'll give it to you again. 343-0106 also works on the text line. Save 25. We're coming right back. Hey, thanks, Kane. 829 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Coming back, we'll get calls at 343-0106. Also, heads up, Bryan Adams, Shine a Light Tour, another big show coming to the Wharf Amphitheater, coming on May 10th, 8 o'clock show, Friday night show, too. I always point that out because that's important to a lot of us. That it is not a school night. So it's one where you, unless you have to go work on Saturday. Friday night, May 10th, 8 o'clock, Bryan Adams, Shine a Light Tour at the Wharf Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale Friday, and that's going to happen at noon. Ticketmaster.com, Wharf Box Office, or charge by phone at 800-745-3000. We'll give you a shot at winning tickets coming up soon. Win them before you can buy them. Tickets for Bryan Adams coming to the Wharf in May. So you plan a little trip down to South Baldwin. Cool combo there. Catch some Bryan Adams while you're, you know, enjoying your sand and sun and all that kind of good stuff. All right, coming right back, we will talk to you and also check out the text coming in at 343-0106. People are tell us who they think would win in that battle between Kiss and Motley Crue that may break out. Hey, thank you, Kane. 837 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. You sick and tired of paying high interest rate on your interest rates on your credit cards? Like, if you look there, I was doing bills last night. So you look and you'll see what your interest rate is, and also look at what the interest is for the given month. How much money is not going towards principal, is just going to servicing the debt. I know it's enough to make you sick. So you want to consolidate your credit card payments down to one payment at a lower rate? Then LightStream's a no-brainer. You can refinance your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream and get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. Rate is fixed, it'll never go up, and there are zero fees. And you can apply online in just minutes. So easy, you don't even have to leave the house. I mean, I'm not going to try to get you in trouble, but you could probably maybe do it during the lunch hour if the boss is not looking. You can even get your money as soon as the day that you apply. And LightStream rewards people with good credit with a low interest rate and an easy process. That's why we work to have a good credit rating, right? If you want to save even more, y'all can get an additional interest rate discount when you go to LightStream.com/Sullivan. Okay, the website, LightStream.com/Sullivan, my last name. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Sullivan for more information. Right, we'll grab some calls. And we'll tell you what, before we even do that, I'm going to get into these texts. Y'all can hop on the phone at 343-0106, 343-0106. I've got mostly text and I think one email here on this. Something that happened, gosh, at the end of the 7 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm.
Had a story about a beef. The guys from Motley Crue are mad that Kiss, they're using cranes.
Yes.
To levitate over the stage on their farewell tour. And Motley Crue said that was our thing.
Yeah, they said that they stole the, I don't know if they used the words trademark or copyright. I think they haven't been afraid to use that in the past. At least Kiss hasn't. But
right.
So yeah, they're getting into it. I didn't realize that Motley Crue, that they were the only ones allowed to use crane. But as far as we know, no roller coaster drum kit for Kiss. Right.
I did no cage that spins around like Motley Crue style. So, okay. So we asked this, who would win this battle between the two? So Donnie says, not even close. Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, Ace Frehley, and Peter Criss, which thank you. My buddy sent me an email. Peter Criss has been out for a long time. Peter Criss is always in your heart, right? Peter Criss against the glam rock Victoria's Secret Boys. It would be a slaughter. So Donnie thinks Kiss would win over Motley Crue.
Okay, that's one vote for Kiss.
Okay, so Tony and Sims says two things. He said, number one, I don't think Ace Frehley or Peter Criss have been in Kiss for lineup for a while. And number two, I think this all is a publicity stunt and Kiss and Motley Crue are laughing all the way to the bank. Maybe. But don't take all the fun out of it. I'm picturing action figures, Motley Crue action figures, and Kiss action figures, mm-hmm. and making them fight.
Yeah, it reminds me of that show on MTV, Celebrity Deathmatch, for back in the day. Like they had claymation figures that would fight each other, and I know they had Kiss versus NSYNC at one point with Ace Frehley and Simmons were the only ones left standing there at the end of that one. They also had Tommy Lee versus Ron Jeremy. I'll let you figure out why they pitted those two guys together. And also, who Vince Neil and who they have? Vince Neil was against, let's see here, Nicolas Cage, I think, at one point.
Oh, Cage wins that one, hands down, against Vince Neil.
You can't be crazy sometimes.
Yeah,
they're both pretty crazy, though.
So another texter said Kiss would get destroyed. See, this is, or would it be get Destroyer? Charles said, I'm appalled Motley Crue would wipe the stage with Kiss.
Okay, wow. Some emotion coming up out of these.
So here we go. There's the Battle Royale as laid out in the ridiculousness. It's Kiss versus Motley Crue out there in some sort of Battle Royale.
I think you'd appreciate a couple more of these celebrity death matches. They had Beck versus Bjork. That was a pretty good fight there.
Two people that exist on my iPod that I dig, but I would like to see the battle between the Icelandic superstar and the slacker.
Okay? Yeah.
Beck then, versus Bjork.
And then all four Beatles battled each other. They called that match A Hard Day's Fight. So they're bringing that back this year, too, Celebrity Deathmatch.
Good stuff. So you can keep, yes, as y'all continue to chime in. Maybe we shouldn't just do News of the Day. Maybe we should do Celebrity Deathmatches and line up which bands would stomp them all. I would say that, Skinnerd would come in there and stomp some tail. If you had the full Skinnerd,
sure.
If you go back, travel in time, get full Skinnerd. Although I would say as much as... got an issue with them because they were I feel that they were so jealous of Skinnerd that they let it eat them up inside. Molly Hatchet. Molly Hatchet, this, they claim to be the true Florida sound, the Molly Hatchet, and of course their album covers was some kind of Norse god with a battle axe or something on it for some reason. Remember those they used to have? So the Molly Hatchet. So we had Molly Hatchet.
Yeah. Where does U2 fit in all this?
No, they would have to be referees. Okay. Bono wouldn't know. Bono would, as much as I like the U2, Bono would not deal with any of the violence. Mm-hmm. He would sit back.
Of course, Guns N' Roses, they'd have to get involved.
So Guns N' Roses would, yes. And I think Guns N' Roses would be a sleeper.
Mm.
And they'd be the Gonzaga of the the UC Santa Barbara coming in the March Madness, because you think, oh come on, it's Axl, but it's also Slash.
Yeah, he can hide weapons.
Duff
under that
McKagan.
Top hat.
Duff McKagan could kick some. Okay, I'm going to get this thing back on the tracks here. But we'll keep that conversation as ridiculous as it is going over on the text line at 343-0106. All right, a couple stories to note, and we're going to tackle these again, some of these in the midday show. There's John Sharp from AL.com. He's chiming in.
Okay.
He's because I knew it'd be Kiss. He's like, more like Kiss versus Kiss. I don't... John, I knew he'd go there. Okay, so one of the stories that has people talking this morning around the state, and I want to point this out. I want everybody to see the story. You shouldn't hide the story. You should see the ridiculousness of this story. But also, at the same time, I want to point out, this is a newspaper in Linden, Alabama. What's up, Linden? Linden, right there, Marengo County. Spent a lot of time, hanging in places like Thomaston and Linden and places like that. But... not exactly the epicenter of newspaper for the state of Alabama or the Southeast.
No.
Fair enough?
Certainly not.
Linden is not. Okay, so WBRC and other news agencies are reporting an editor at a small-town Alabama newspaper would like to see the Ku Klux Klan night ride again to clean up Washington, D.C.
What?
In fact, Goodloe Sutton, which if you had to come up with a name for a newspaper editor in a small town, you couldn't have called Central. You couldn't have called Central Casting and got somebody better than Goodloe Sutton.
Yeah, he's speaking from small town newspaper experience. He's probably not only the editor, but probably 75% of the articles written by him.
Correct. I thought the same thing when I saw this. As they say he's the editor. Yeah, well, he's probably everything. It says he went so far to publish an editorial on February 14th edition of the ironically named Democrat Reporter that called for the Klan to ride against the Democrats in the Republican Party and the Democrats who are plotting to raise Alabama's taxes. He writes here, seems like the Klan would be welcome to raid the gated communities up there. They call them compounds now. Truly, they are the ruling class. The Democrat Reporter, based in Linden, Alabama, about 100 miles west of Montgomery. Just like somebody out of another part of the state that would tell you Linden's 100 miles west of Montgomery instead of orienting it just in Marengo County or north of Mobile. All right, Sutton, who's also the publisher and the editor, like you said, has worked there since 1964.
Golly!
And inherited the paper from his father. How do you continue to make money with that paper in Linden? He confirmed with the Montgomery Advertiser that he penned the editorial in which he claimed that after the Civil War, former slaves would borrow robes and horses from their former masters to ride to scare off evildoers. The editorial railed against the social communist ideology that sounds good to the ignorant, uneducated, and simple-minded people. Sutton also recommended lynching when he was asked what he meant by cleaning up D.C. He said, we'll get the hemp ropes out, loop them over a tall limb, and hang all of them.
So he didn't walk this back at all.
No.
He said, kept going.
He said, it's not calling for the lynchings of Americans. These are socialist communists we're talking about. Do you know what socialism and communism is? End quote. Despite bringing up lynching, Sutton said he doesn't see the KKK as a violent or racist organization. He even compared it to the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, so the NAACP. He said, well, they didn't kill but a few people. The Klan wasn't violent until they needed to be. Okay. So listen, you know, we go through the whole story here. It's this guy. What the guy is saying is beyond ridiculous, and I think there can be a lot of, you know, a lot of talk about it. But I also, to calm down folks at the Montgomery, you know, at the paper in Montgomery and WBRC and elsewhere in the state, this dude wrote an editorial in the, what is it,
the Democrat Reporter
based in Linden, Alabama.
Right.
Okay. This isn't an op-ed, you know, in a major newspaper, okay? This is one person writing in Linden, Alabama. But it's going to be, watch what happens. It's going to be taken as being the emblem, the talking point of anybody who's unhappy with what's happening in Washington, that you will be joined at the hip with this guy. And I just, I want to point that out, too. So what the guy's saying is, obviously, I mean, you could look at it and you go, give me a break here. At the same time, I'm not going to jump on this bandwagon that this guy is emblematic of some bigger movement. There are people that write crazy stuff every day.
Yeah.
Does it mean that it's an opinion of anybody other than the person that wrote the crazy stuff?
Yeah, just a quick Google search. I don't even think Democrat Reporter has its website. So this didn't even make it online.
No, not online, but he rode by on his bicycle and threw the papers in the yard.
Yeah.
All right, be right back. At 8:53, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Nobody's brought in the boys from Athens. No, Michael Stipe, not a threat here in the Battle Royale that rages on our text line between, if you're late to the show, probably count yourself lucky, but there's been a side discussion of who wins a battle between Motley Crue and Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
It started off with a real world issue between the two bands using cranes on a farewell tour to hover over the crowd, and now it's turned into my kind of thing, which is a ridiculous commentary and back and forth on who would win in a physical altercation between the two bands.
Well, you know, Gene Simmons, he is a big guy. He is a mat. He is
and he gets
stocky,
on the stack. And he gets on the stack.
And
his shoes.
And someone mentioned on the text line, breathes fire. Don't
that's right. That is a that if you are scoring things, you when you have somebody who can breathe fire, that's got to help, right?
For sure.
And then wait a second. So Ben says, obviously these guys, and that must be me too, haven't watched Runaway. Which Ben, believe me, the list of movies I haven't seen is bad. I've not seen a lot. Runaway, where Gene Simmons almost takes out Tom Selleck with little poison robots. Kiss would whip Motley Crue like a redheaded stepchild. All right, see, there's a. It's about now. This texture says Crue survived harder drugs.
Interesting.
So they believe that shows them to be stronger than Kiss. Although he also points out, or she also points out, Keith Richards would whip them all.
Yes, yeah, because I think he survives only on drugs still. And Motley Crue would probably keep that, you know, Narcan close by in case they need to jump back up from the.
Okay, maybe we'll go straight into podcast mode at the end of the show
okay.
And do a podcast about this. For everybody else, let me give you a heads up. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. If you have made that New Year's resolution over a month ago to get organized in 2019 at your house, first step, before you start getting the extra clear, you know, right now, the last month and a half, every home improvement store is selling like clear lid organization yeah. system, come by stackable boxes and all that. They're doing that because they know that we're all trying to get some sense of our lives here in the new year. Okay, before you get the clear boxes and the wire shelving and the organization system and all that, get rid of the junk. And then you organize the things you actually want to keep. And when you do that, you call my buddy Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK, working in Mobile, Baldwin Counties. They go to your house, they come to your office, and go to a house you're getting ready to sell. You got a storage unit. Anywhere you got junk, they go there, they get the junk, and they make it go away. And so I would suggest wherever you're getting organized, at the shop, at the office, at your house, you're going to get organized, get rid of the junk first. And the nice thing, too, in the real world way to look at this is if you happen to be a procrastinator and may have a little trouble getting around to it, when you set an appointment time with 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they're going to give you a day, they're going to give you an hour of the day, then the sands start running through the hourglass and you get the junk identified, have it gathered up, and get it gone. And it could be big stuff. I mean, it's like, it could be boxes and trash bags full of stuff. It could be a swing set or an above-ground pool or an entire storage shed then get rid of it. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So go online, see what they can do for you. Make that appointment, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Right, coming up on the Midday Show today, if hoping I have time, and if not, I've reminded folks yesterday, and it seems like a lot of people have gone and listened to the podcast of the interview I did with the folks from Aldott on Friday. Questions about the tolling on the I-10 for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge, but not just the bridge. I think there's got to be a way we should start referring to this as the bridge complex or the I-10 complex, because you have the bridge and you have the expansion of the Bayway.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going together. And one of the arguments being made is they're tolling the Wallace Tunnel because that's paying for, you know, also the Bayway expansion. So that's one of the arguments. But the thing that's happening here, unless something changes, is in 2025, we're going to have a bridge and we're going to have a tunnel for I-10, and both of them will be tolled. No toll booths. It'll be tolled by plate. It'll be between $3 and $6.
Mm-hmm.
The sunset on this is 55 years
wow.
from when it gets launched.
So if that's 2025, then we're talking 2080.
That's right. Before, so and it didn't seem like it was tied to pay off a certain amount. It was just 55 years, and the toll could be raised for inflation as well. That's some of the details that are in there. With that interview, I asked those questions and got some answers from the Aldott folks. If we got a chance, we'll replay that today during the Midday Show and get that discussion coming back. Also see some people sending me some emails and stuff about this this editor up in Linden. Mm-hmm. And this, once again, you look at what this guy says in this editorial. I mean, because he's actually calling for violence against fellow Americans, which I think that should be the big thing. Then he's referring to the Klan, you know, which is another big thing. But also, it's one dude in Linden. This is, I mean, writing an editorial, how that has to be the tied to the national narrative
for
people that are unhappy with Washington. I don't get it. All right, Mike Gallagher will take it from here.